Colossians chapter 3, we'll begin in verse 12 if we could. Paul speaking here to this body of believers, he says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Put on kindness and humbleness of mind. Be in meekness, long suffer, forbear one another." And here it goes, "Forgive one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do you." And above all these things, Paul says, "Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful." Be thankful. That's what Paul is telling the church. He said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Amen. And this morning, if we could just take a few moments, we're going to discuss and we're going to minister a few moments. Be you thankful. Be thankful. I can think of no better place to be today than to be a thankful believer in the body of Christ. There's something beautiful about believers when they are thankful. I'm not saying we're thankful for all circumstances, but we learn to be thankful in all circumstances. Be you thankful this morning, because that's what Paul is telling us to be and to do. Let's go to prayer. Father, again, we just come into your house. And Lord, we implore your blessing this morning. I thank you for the worship we've had this morning, Lord, as hearts were lifted up before the throne of God. We thank you, Lord, this morning for the Children's Church, for live stream. We thank you for the people that have gathered in your name. Lord, people have come with many varied needs in their heart and in their life. This morning, Lord, help us to be thankful. Thankful Christians. Thankful believers, sons and daughters of God. Lord, that have been blood washed and are thankful for God in all things. Lord, anoint the teacher, the preacher this morning. Oh, let the Holy Spirit come from heaven. Fill our hearts as we thank you and praise you and give you glory. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. If we would go back a few thousand years and we look at the reign of Solomon. Solomon, David's son, who would take the throne after him. Solomon, who was commissioned by David and, first of all, by God to build the temple of the Lord. We've mentioned this quite a few times in this church, and that you should know much about Solomon and his kingdom. And that's a picture, really, the only time we've ever seen on earth a picture story of the millennial reign that is yet to come of Jesus Christ upon this earth. At the time when Solomon had built this temple, spent almost 7 to 14 years between that and his own house, but when they had dedicated the temple, the Word of God says that the glory of the Lord filled that house as at no other time, to the point where even the priests and the ministers could not stand to minister, amen? You know, people say, is being slain in the Spirit of the Lord, is that a valid experience today? Well, when the glory of the Lord envelops you, there are times that all we can do is collapse under the presence of the Lord. Amen? But I always say it this way, let it be real. You don't have to make it happen. Amen? And so, and I always say it this way too, that if God knocks somebody down, He's going to do something in you. So in other words, if you've been touched to the point where you've gone down under the power of God, I guarantee when you get up, there will be something changed in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. The charismatic world, they've hijacked those experiences and they just go down like dominoes and they get up and they're mean as a cur dog when they get back in the car. Nothing has changed. Amen. Amen. If God's going to knock you down, don't you think He's up to something? He wants to touch you, do something in your heart, in your life, to make you a better child of God, a better Christian, draw you a little closer to the Lord? Amen. So our experiences in the Lord are always predicated upon God doing a work in us. Amen. But in the time of Solomon, it would have been glorious to be there. Even Sheba, one of the queens that come from a foreign land, had made a long 1,000-mile journey because she had heard of the wisdom of Solomon. And when she got there and when she began to see how the kingdom was running and how it was operating, she began to look at the servants of God and the servants of Solomon and the priesthood and the ministry. And when she saw how Solomon ascended up to the house of God, she was just overwhelmed. And she made the comment. She said, "There was no breath left in me." She says, "I can't believe it. Your people are so happy. I've never seen this in the world. They're not like this where I come from. But the people here are happy. Happy people." Amen. Think about that. You and I, as a child of God, are to have the joy of the Lord in us. Amen. We're to be a happy people. Why? We've been redeemed from our sin. We've been saved. We're loved of God. My God, we're part of the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're happy. Amen. Glory to God. I remember coming off that bar stool in fall 1984 and Jesus gloriously saving my soul that night. When I woke up that next morning, I kid you not, everything was brighter. My God, I was happy. I felt the load of sin taken off my heart. I felt the burden of sin lifted by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm born again. I'm saved. Something has happened in my life. Amen. And I had joy. I was so happy. Happy, even though everything in my natural life was in pieces. Amen. And I learned firsthand what the peace of God, when it ruled in your heart. My Lord, what a difference it makes when Jesus Christ comes and lives within your heart and in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. What's the worst thing that can happen to the child of God? God calls us home. Think about it. Amen. You know, Jesus even said, "Don't fear those that kill the body." And I know if ISIS was knocking at our door, I think we'd be a little panic-stricken maybe for a moment. But even with that, Jesus said, "Don't fear those that kill the body. After they've done that, they can do nothing more to you." Amen. Because you're with me forever. Amen. You know, we're the only people on the planet Earth that have hope of an eternal future. Amen. That have a glorious future. Glory to God. I've said it 100 times here, but you and I in Jesus Christ will never know the fires of hell. Think about it. We'll never know the fires of hell. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I go back and I think about, you know, Sheba's reaction to the kingdom of God under Solomon. And it's a picture of what is yet to come when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth and sets up and universal peace will reign. Healing of the nations will take place. You know, it's been a difficult week for a few of you. I've heard some of the reports and our heart goes out to some of the difficult news. I just got the news this morning. Somebody's brother in this house passed away on the operating table. We have others that are dealing with cancer. We have others that have family problems, marital battles. We have people here that are going through painful things that their children are going through and different things. We all carry different things. Liz and I had a rough couple weeks here. My youngest daughter, Jennifer, her third child who was in the womb, she had miscarried a couple weeks ago. Baby, I think, was about 10, 11 weeks along. It was fairly soon in the pregnancy, but you know, she's going through that, and our heart breaks because I was looking forward to another grandbaby. Amen. And then our dog, our family dog, the family dog, you know, grew up with the boys as a puppy, and her name is Hannah. Just the sweetest golden retriever you've ever seen. She's the best one on the planet, I'm telling you. You know, and we took her in for a routine surgery, and as they got into it, they called us an hour into it and said, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but says she's full of cancer and there's not a lot we can do. And given her basically 3 months, and you know, I mean, that hit us. You know, things like that can hit you hard, you know. And I know that's just the dog, that's just a family pet, but those of you that have just your dog, you know how close you can even be to that, you know. You know, and you know, I want to just share this a little bit and what that did for me going through some of that. And I'll tell you, this week I was here, but I wasn't here. I was kind of just going through, you know, this cancer thing. I hate cancer. I just hate it. I hate it. I know God hates it too. But having to relive those emotions when mother and dad were going through their bout with cancer, and cancer, at least in their part, won the battle over time. But yet, we have a God that can yet heal. And if you're struggling this morning with need in your body, I want you to believe God. Because it's not over till it's over. Until God says, amen. And so you believe your God, amen. Well, they sent the dog home, and all of a sudden they said, she's not going to be in too good a shape until the next day after all that anesthesia wears off. And, you know, she's her normal self. So what we're doing, you know, we're laying hands on those little tumor things and we're believing God's going to dry those up and I'm changing up her diet a little bit, you know. You know, we adjust to things. But you know what? You can't stop living before you die. And as long as there's breath, there's still hope. Amen. And I'll tell you, I took it to the Lord, and I feel I had a breakthrough in the Spirit. And God calls her home. He calls the puppy home. But if not, I'm still believing God. But, you know, God has shown me something about prayer. Amen. Let God strengthen your heart, strengthen your spirit. Some of us here, you're going through difficult things in the area of you need a desperate healing. Amen. But we stand with you this morning. And we're believing God. You know, the old Pentecostals, it used to be when you're sick, I'm telling you what, they'd come to your house, they'd all lay hands on you, they'd stay till midnight, 1 o'clock, until they felt they had the breakthrough. They'd lay hands on you, dump 10 gallons of oil on you. They'd believe God, amen? I'm not saying we have to do it that way all the time, but I'm saying this way, we can believe God because we're a thankful people, we're a happy people. God has taken care of us on every side, amen? Hallelujah. So you believe Him this morning. You believe Him for great things. You believe Him for your healing, for your need, for your marriage, for your children. You believe Him for a better future. Amen. It's been said this way, if you're going through hell, my God, don't park there. Amen. Just get through it. David said it this way, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't park, put up a sign, and look around a little bit and take pictures. David's came through it. He came through it. If I go through the valley of the shadow of death, amen. And I'm here to say that, you know, in this world, because we live in a fallen world, friend, nothing works like it should. Nothing works like it should. But you and I have the edge because of Jesus Christ and because of His shed blood and His finished work on the cross. We have an edge, amen. We have that insider edge, amen. Jesus Christ, and you believe on Him for everything, amen. Praise the Lord. You see, the believer is to be in an internal state of thankfulness and joy. You and I are to be a thankful people. Listen to some of these psalms this morning. The Word of God tells us in one of the psalms, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Now, you didn't hear that this morning. The Word of God tells us, enter into His gates, first of all, with thanksgiving. Amen. When I come before the Lord, I'm to come with a thankful heart, even no matter what it is I'm going through. Amen. Oh, okay, okay. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with some praise. Glory to God. You know, I've learned this many times. There's times you go to God and it's just, help. But there's other times it's like, Lord, I come into Your presence this morning. I come thankful, Lord. I have a praise in my heart. I praise You, O Lord. I love You, Jesus. Hallelujah. You say, well, somebody might hear me. Well, they need to hear you. Amen. Amen. You know, our boys were raised, you know, with praising God in the house, praying in the Holy Ghost in the house. Amen. Mom and Dad being thankful, being joyous. Oh, we've had our moments. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not heaven on earth yet, but we've come a long way with that. But I'm here to say, we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. We say, hallelujah, Jesus. We say, glory to God. Amen. The boys were raised in that. Amen. I mean, listen, if you're not going to hear you praising God, they're going to hear you cutting everything apart. They're going to hear you grumbling and complaining about everything and everybody and every situation. But we have learned that we're going to be a thankful people. Amen. Don't get me wrong. It's been a fight of faith at times. Amen. I mean, there's time I'll walk in the house. I work outside in my shop and different things. Liz will be praising the Lord. She'll be worshiping the Lord. She'll have good programming on that edifies Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, that's kind of what Solomon's kingdom was like. They were a thankful people. They were a happy people. Amen. Listen, the provision has been made that we have no excuse not to be a happy people and a thankful people. My God, I'm not going to hell. My name is in heaven's book. I am washed in the blood. Jesus Christ does live in my heart. Amen. So the worst day on earth, think about it, is still a joyous day because we are still intact when it comes to the work of God in us. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying that we don't go through the difficulties, you hear the hard news, and it takes us a few days to regroup or to actually get a handle when the loved one will pass on or something like that. We're human. We have feelings. We have emotions. God knows that. But we can rebound much quicker than that worldling. When difficult news comes, we don't run to the bar stool. We run to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. We're to be joyous. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. When's the last time we've done that? Amen. It's hard to be, how can I say, defeated and praising God at the same time. You know, a lot of our emotional battles and struggles, a lot of our depressions, a lot of our, how can I say, is that we've not learned and cultivated a praise life. You know, we push prayer life. You got to have a prayer life. You got to have a prayer life. And you do. You got to talk to God. But you know what? You got to have a praise life too. Amen. And you and I need to be thankful and praising God. Praise God. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll be honest with you. I'm probably not there yet myself, but I heard a preacher of old when they heard the news that somebody was very ill and it wasn't looking good. And the preacher goes, well, praise God. We have another opportunity to believe God for a healing. Now, I don't know if you'd say that. you might get a right hand on that one, but I'm here to say, you know, but the thing is, we need to learn to praise the Lord. Amen. God wants you joyful. He wants you joyful. Jesus said to be attitudes. He said, blessed are ye when. That word blessed means happy are you when. Happy are you when. Jesus on the cross, first of all, dealt with the sin problem that I don't have to, how can I say, be overwhelmed with the grief of my sin anymore. Amen. He has shown, Paul said in Romans 8, he said, we cry out, Abba, Father. He's my God, my Father. My Lord, I'm not an orphan. Amen. He cares about me. He careth for my soul. He is my shepherd. He is the one who watches over me. He is the one who holds my life in the palm of His hand. Amen. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful that even if I have health issues, I still have breath. Even if I'm going through marital difficulties, I still have hope of a future. Even if I'm going through family trials and troubles with the kids, the good news is that Jesus Christ has a hope and a future built into my life. Amen? That somehow I will come through. So I'm going through financial difficulties and I can't rub two nickels together. The hope is that maybe tomorrow God will provide and He'll split that Red Sea and God will lead me into that opportunity that I've been born to fulfill. Amen? You see, it's never over for the child of God. Amen. The better half has not yet been told. That's what Sheba said. You ever hear that all the time? They always say, well, the better half has not been told. Where was that mentioned? That's what Sheba said. I see all this, the glory of your kingdom, the happy of your servants. Oh, and there's no breath left in me, and the half has not yet been told. My God. I told you I'm preaching you, Bob. Bob, every week I say, I'm preaching you, brother. Amen. You all think I'm preaching to you? No, I'm preaching to Bob. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's still coming back, so I mean, he's still here, amen. He hasn't left us yet, so yet, I hope. I don't think he plans on it, but amen. Hallelujah. We need to be thankful. We need to have a praise life. A praise life. Amen? Amen? Too many children of God, you're soured. Soured. Just soured. You know, upset with Christians, upset with church, upset with people, upset with preachers. And there's a contempt growing in your spirit. Maybe you're not here, but wherever this DVD, somebody on live stream, this is for them. This is for them. I know it's not for nobody here. But there's a contempt growing in your heart and a discouragement. And it's impermeating your spirit. And you're soured. And there's no joy. And no good news is good enough to put a smile on your face anymore. That's not a good place to be for the child of God. Because you know what that's a form of? That is the first stages of unbelief taking over that individual's life. Listen, you know, we get on the homosexual, we get on the pervert, we get on the effeminate, we get on the drug addict, we get on whoever for their condition. We think, well, that's what put them in the hell. No, that's not. It's not your sin per se. It's not your act of sin that damns your soul per se. It is the unbelief in your spirit. It's the unbelief, the lack of faith in Jesus and His finished work that's in your spirit that takes you out of His graces, that takes you out from under the umbrella of His blessings. Boy, that's quiet. We're quiet, aren't we? That unbelief, like the man that came with the son demon-possessed, always threw himself in the fire, had a suicidal spirit, got tired of dealing with it. Jesus hit it right. When He brought the man up and He said, what can I do for you? He said, Lord, help my unbelief. He said, I do believe, but help my unbelief. You know, that just wasn't all that man's situation. That's a picture of much of the body of Christ today. Instead of being thankful and having the joy of the Lord in our heart and our spirit, there's a contempt in our spirit. There's a contempt there. There's a deep-rooted something, and it gnaws at us. And it takes our joy, and it steals our thankfulness. Because it's a subtle unbelief, and acts of sin will follow not too long down the road. Because we've removed ourselves, because we have set up a circumstance, a situation that we feel we're justified why we're in this condition. When a person has contempt in their spirit, we've crossed that line where we're justifying why I can be this way. I'm going to dig in a little bit here because this I feel some of our hearts can be locked up. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. But we can be honest enough to say, that contempt in my spirit, there is a cure for it. It is called give it to Jesus. Bring it to Him. Tell Him where it hurts. Tell Him what it is you're battling with. Tell Him why you're feeling the way you're feeling. Amen?
Amen.
You know, Sharon Cornell, 3 years in a row, when she preached on Saturday night, you know what her message is? Come ye unto me. Come ye unto me. I was wondering this year, you know, is she going to preach something else? But she preached the same thing. Come ye unto me. And then I got thinking, first of all, I got irritated with it. I thought, please preach something different. Our people, you know, you hear say this all the time. But you know, when you think about it, that's probably one of the greatest messages, at least the subject of it, that can be told the child of God. We don't come unto me, unto Jesus as we ought to. The solution is there. You know, when Cain was told by God, Cain, just the offering's lying at the door. Go get it and you'll be accepted. No. Mm-mm. No. Cain, just go get the offering. It's right there. That it's 10 feet away. Bring it in, offer it up, and you will be accepted. No. The Bible says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. What is it that we lock up when God says, come to Jesus, bring it to me. Let me carry your burden. Bring your need to my feet. And we don't do it. And we carry it, and we carry it, and we carry it. Amen. See, this is the warfare of the believer. Cain didn't make it through, but he had no trouble slitting his brother's throat. Did he? The picture story is this. If we don't learn to come to Jesus, to bring our burdens to Him, something starts happening inside of us. We start atrophying. We start locking up. We get hardened. Amen? So we got to learn to just keep taking it to Jesus. Just keep taking it to Jesus. Keep taking it to Jesus. I can't tell you the thousands, the 10,000s of times in 31 plus years of serving Jesus Christ that I've had to bring the burden of my heart to Him. Amen? And He has helped me, and the peace of God broke through. And somehow He carried the load, and He lifted the burden off my shoulder. Oh, maybe 3 times, 10 times in a day, I've had to come to Him because I have to learn how to release things to Him. And He is ever patient with us. The key is our heart. Are we willing? Listen, listen. We're no match for our flesh, none of us. And when we're in the flesh, we're no match for that. But God is patient with us. He knows our frame, that we are but dust. He knows that He is working with a stubborn, obstinate, hard-hearted. Well, Pastor, who are you talking? I'm talking about all of us. Why don't we be honest for once? We're all hard-hearted, stubborn, and obstinate. Amen? Every single one of us.
Amen.
What did he say? That's right, brother, because you're listening. Amen. I'm preaching to him, and he's listening. He's getting the breakthrough. Amen. I'm hard-hearted, stubborn, Pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, there's areas in our life that we're hard-hearted and stubborn and obstinate. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, God wants us thankful and joyful. We need a praise life. Listen, there's been, you know, we talk about the sacrifice of praise. There's times where in my circumstance, I was hit hard. Liz was looking through something on her phone, and I come in the house, got the news from the veterinarian. I mean, I know it's just a dog, okay, but just bear with our infirmity for a minute, you know, and that news. You know, I mean, I was wrestling. And you know what I did? I went out back in that shop and I said, Lord, I believe in the finished work. I believe in the cross. But Satan was messing with my mind too. What about Deuteronomy 28 where you said your cattle would be blessed? She's an animal. But she's our animal. What about that, Lord? What about that? Now, I know we got other things. And you know what I feel comes out of all that? You do right by believing God for the best when you're going through your worst. Amen. Should our critter pass on early, it doesn't change God's word, His nature, His goodness. He's still a good God. Amen. Amen. He still loves us.
Amen.
His word is still true. You can believe on His word. But you know what it also shows me? Our joy isn't based upon our circumstances. Our joy is to be predicated on our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So when the dark hour comes, I don't crumble and fall apart. And in these other things out here, this is what we do and this is what we tend to do. Unless we see something really happening in that very thing that we're troubled over, we think God isn't doing nothing. And Satan will tell you in your spirit, man, your God is doing nothing. You've prayed about this 1,000 times. You've been anointed with oil how many times? And it goes over and over and over. But that voice, when you begin to praise the Lord, hallelujah. Brother, your solution, just praising Jesus. He loves you and nothing has changed. Keep praising Him, keep loving Him, and nothing changes. God loves you no matter what. Amen? And your breakthrough is a praise away. Amen? Hallelujah. The Word of God tells us to be thankful. Thankful isn't an emotion. It's a declaration. A declaration. I'm thankful because of who God is. I'm thankful because I am loved of God. I'm thankful because He still has a plan for the rest of my life. And it's a good plan. It's a wonderful plan. And on this pathway, there may be sufferings along the way because the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared to the glory that shall yet be revealed in us. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, you believe God. You believe God for everything. You never quit. You never give up. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Another psalm says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay your vows unto the Most High. Another psalm says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Another psalm says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with songs. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we just got to get a song in our spirit. A good song. You can't praise God listening to rap. You know? Well, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. I'm sorry, that don't work. Ain't happening. Hallelujah. You try to fit it in with one of them. Oh, that I worship in that stuff. No, you don't. I get close to God in that stuff. What God? Oof. But when you can sing, well, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible, it tells me so.
Hallelujah.
Oh, little ones, including me, to Him belong. We're all weak, Lord, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise Him with a song. Praise Him with a song. I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, Satan, I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, flesh man, I have decided I'm going to follow Jesus. Oh, I ain't turning back. No turning back. I was going through the trial of my life. My former spouse was a few weeks from pulling the plug on the marriage, and I knew something was up in the spirit. I would lay in bed at night, not knowing which way things were going to go. And I sang that song. I have decided I'm going to follow Jesus. I have decided I'm going to follow Jesus. And then I went through the verses. Oh, Lord, if none go with me. I didn't say, though none go with me. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And I said, if none go with me, I'm going to follow. No turning back. No turning back. A few weeks later, that rug was pulled out. And I made a decision. I'm going to love God. I'm going to stay in the house of God. I'm not going to backslide over this because I'm not sure which way God is going with it all. God allowed it. He didn't cause it. He allowed it. He allowed it. And I had the trust that God was my rear guard, that I was going to follow Him no matter what. Amen? And do the right thing with all the help and grace of God. Amen. Did I go through it perfect? No. And you won't either, nor did you, if you went through it. But I found life and restoration. Folks, can I say it very careful? The fight of faith is being thankful. It's carrying the joy of the Lord in the midst of my heartache and my pain and the unsurety of what tomorrow's going to hold. I'm going to love him no matter what. And I'm going to follow him no matter what. Though none go with me, yet I'm going to follow. Amen. And it takes time for God to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And folks, it would do us, the rest of us, good not to judge and to cast dirt at those that go through excruciating trials and think, well, they deserved it. Well, they got what's coming to them. Well, if they were really in God, if they were properly in Christ, that wouldn't have happened. You better be careful, friend, because that judgment's going to come back on your head. I had preachers telling me, you'll never preach again, you'll never pastor again. Oh, they'll take my tithe, they'll let me maybe help with a Sunday school or something like that. But then one man of God, through it all, said, brother, I don't agree with the Assemblies of God position on marriage and remarriage, or the way they, on the remarriage issue. That was quite a while ago. I think it's changed now. But he said, brother, whatever God opens for you to do, you just walk through that door. And we did, and we're here today. Amen. Thank God. Amen. We're not a perfect church. We've come through a few things. I'm not a perfect pastor. But can I be honest without, you're not a perfect people either.
Say it again.
Amen. 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 But you know the common denominator. The common denominator. If we're thankful and if we're joyful, we have yet to see the good things God has prepared for us that love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Musicians, please, if Sister Jackie. I got more, but I feel the Lord has spoken. You can be thankful because thanksgiving is a decision. It is a choice. The storm will lift. The circumstance will change. My focus is to be on Jesus Christ. My object of faith is to be the shed blood of Jesus Christ every day. How do I know I'm going to make it through my day? Because I'm looking to that blood. That blood says I'm going to make it. That blood says God will never abandon me. That blood says that all the promises in Jesus Christ are yes and amen. That blood says that I have a hope of tomorrow. I have a hope of next week. And should he keep me alive on this earth, then there's a purpose that I'm here. But let people see the joy of the Lord in our heart and in our spirit. If there's contempt and anger, we can take it to Jesus. He doesn't condemn us. And I don't want us condemned if we're having a struggle, because you don't know what people are going through that they've not known how to release that burden. I'm believing God. The victory is still on the cross in that finished work. The Lord loves you. He lives in your heart. He said, I'll never abandon you. You can bring your burden to Jesus Christ. You can be joyful. You can be thankful. In Deuteronomy 28, I mentioned that earlier, God does say he'll bless you on every side. But if you read towards the end of that chapter, 3/4 of that chapter is given over to how difficult it's going to be for the people if they don't abide in the Word of God. And in there he said that all these bad things are going to come your way because you're not serving the Lord with joy of heart. Joy of heart. Amen. Romans 1.
Paul said the indictment against the world, he said, is that when they knew God, when they knew about the Lord, they didn't retain God in their knowledge, but in their thought life, they became vain. They became vain, and their heart was darkened. Folks, as blood-washed children of God, we're to serve God with a clean conscience, with a clean heart. We're to take our issues to the Lord. And if we have a quarrel against any in our text, Paul said, forgive it in Christ's sake and in his name, just like Christ forgave you. Don't look far beyond your own life. We understand offenses hurt. We feel that. We're not making light of offenses. But that offense has to be put under the blood so you can walk in victory, and then God can go to work on the offending party. I've said it 1,000 times. If you won't forgive and if you won't let things go, God will not work on your behalf in that other person or those people or that group unless you release it into his hands. Listen, you want to live by the sword, you'll perish by the sword. If you let God get vengeance, take vengeance in his way, things will go much better for you. Amen. You and I are not to be judge, executioner, the jury. We're not to be that. We're to give everything into the rightful hands of the righteous judge, Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor, what do we do when there are very, very difficult things and people are wrong? There's still this thing called something's got to be talked about, confronted. If you can't confront it, then you got to give it to him. And even when you confront it, you need to give it to him. Because he might tell you, don't confront. He might tell you, just give it to me. You go free. And you be full of joy and be thankful. Because I got a better day for you and I got a better circumstance for you down the road.
Hallelujah.
Amen. There's always hope, friend. Hallelujah. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. We give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks unto the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. And let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. And let the poor say, I am rich, because of the Lord has done for us. We give thanks with a grateful heart. We give thanks for what he's done. We give thanks. Hallelujah. We give thanks. Let's worship him. I feel the altar call today is right in the pew this morning. If we can just lift our heart right now as Jackie plays softly on the piano. Lift your burden to Him right now. Just lift it up. Say, Jesus, take it. Take it from my heart. Cleanse my spirit. I don't want to be full of contempt. Lord, help me to believe. Help me to forgive. Help me to trust for tomorrow. Oh God, send for healing into my body. Send for healing into my mind. Send forth healing into my spirit, man. Send forth healing into my marriage. Send forth your touch, your healing in my children, in my finances. Lord, I need you to move. I need you to remember me, to bless me. I need you to lift this off my shoulders, oh God, and give me hope and give me a future. Lord, we're believing God today that by your Spirit, as we lift our hearts to you, Lord, oh, that the goodness of God, oh, that it'll just touch us and meet every need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give thanks. We're thankful people. Give thanks. With a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. He loves you. Give thanks. With a grateful heart, give thanks unto the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus.